and welcome to this special edition of the EdTech podcast, where I review the launch of the report My Tech Future, commissioned by the Tech Partnership and carried out by Childwise. The order of speakers that you will hear from consists of the following. First up, Karen Price, OBE and CEO of the Tech Partnership. Then followed by what was Minister for Culture, Communications and the Creative Industries, Ed Vasey, who has since been replaced by Matthew Hancock by our new Prime Minister, Theresa May. And we then go into an interview with Jackie Ferguson, SVP and General Manager, HP Enterprise Services, UK and I, and Mima, who talks about her own career in tech. And finally, we hear from two very enterprising students from Surbiton High School, young ladies talking about how the tech industry seems to them and their ambitions within tech and different industry verticals that they are interested in moving into after school. So there is quite an extended blog on this subject on my LinkedIn profile, Sophie Bailey, and also can tweet that out this week's edition. And just finally, anytime I say HP, you should slap my wrist because it is HPE, which is a different part of that organization. So I hope you find it interesting. You know, the main question that we are answering here is how do we get more girls and women into the tech sector? And I think that that is just as applicable within edtech and education more broadly, hence organisations like Women Ed or the Tech London Advocates Women's Committee. So please enjoy and send your questions to @podcastedtech or comments, and have a great week.
Yay! Three insights that I thought were interesting. The first one was tech is a non-standard choice for girls. Now, that is absolutely stating the obvious. We all know that. But what it suggests is we can't rely on just one engagement with a girl or intervention with a girl. It needs to be sustained over a period of time, and it's looking at something like 6 months. So I think of all the individual things we could do, we could pick up on that. And then the second thing is we must always remember that women can enter the tech profession from non-traditional pathways. So whilst it's very important focusing on schools, we mustn't forget about our colleges, our universities, and women who've already started their career in a different profession and can move over into tech. So it should be an all-age programme. And finally, girls are motivated by what tech can do to make life better. So tech employers need to reflect this in their communications. You know, don't talk about what makes tech work. Talk about how it makes a difference.
This referendum result has thrown the country into confusion. And in the last week, we've lost the Prime Minister, we've lost the Shadow Cabinet, we've lost Nigel Farage, and we've lost Chris Evans. Jeremy Corbyn is remaining as a rock of stability in a turbulent world. And I obviously was very disappointed by the referendum result. I think we're better off in Europe. I haven't seen the gender split between who voted to leave and remain, but I suspect all the boys voted to leave because they were interested in the process, and the girls voted to stay because they're interested in how Europe makes life better, which is to pick up on the remarks earlier about how to get people into tech. Clearly, we know that this is an ongoing... Well, actually, I'll talk about tech, but I'll just finish on the referendum. So, we don't know what's going to happen as a result of the referendum in terms of the sort of detail. I think one has to, you know, in terms of the seven stages of grief, I'm assuming, by the way, because it looks like a highly intelligent audience, that most people here voted to remain, but... going through the seven stages of grief, we've got to get to the you know, even those of us who wanted to remain have to accept the largest number of people ever voted for one particular decision, which was for Britain to leave the EU, so that is what will happen. And I think that one of the issues was to do with, for example, free movement, and I think there will have to be some changes there. But I think that it's pretty clear that it's not you don't just flick a switch and leave the European Union. So there'll be a lot of negotiation to take place. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us, employers, teachers, students, to keep calm and carry on and to see the opportunities. I still think that people will obviously be able to work in Europe, just as you're able to work all over the world. And we want European Union citizens who are already here, obviously, to carry on, because effectively nothing has happened. Their jobs are secure, their livelihood here is secure, and we want to continue to attract the best talent into the country. But I suppose, in some ways, given that where we are, we also have to look at the silver lining and be optimistic and think that this should give us an opportunity to think creatively. Tech is a creative and entrepreneurial sector of this economy, to look at the skills that we have and to look at how we can enhance those skills and support businesses, whether it's British businesses like BT or indeed HPE, who've been investing in the UK for many, many years indeed. And clearly, one of the issues that is a constant refrain for us in the tech world is the need to get more women and girls into tech. You've all read Sheryl Sandberg and Lean In, and I think she makes obviously the best point of all, which is any employer that's not employing women is cutting themselves off from 50% of the skilled population that can support their company. And I think the Tech Partnership Report is fantastic because it's a very practical report looking at how you can actually do this. It's not just a survey, it's not just a wringing of the hands, it's making obvious points that yes, let's get people interested and motivated in school, but don't think that's just the job done. Keep going to college, keep going to university, go for people who are already in the workforce, go for people who might be coming back from career breaks. And I love the fact as well that it focuses on the message about how to make a tech career attractive, because people do look at things in different ways. So we're still in a position where in the tech economy, women only account for about 20% of digital roles, and that's why these insights are so important, that's why this campaign is so important. And we in government, whichever government is going to emerge in the next few weeks, we also need to work with you. We're establishing, for example, the Ada National College for Digital Skills, and we've set a target, 40% of female students within 5 years. But that is going to be a tough target to reach because it doesn't happen naturally. That is just a fact, so we have to work at it. Also, we have to look, as we said earlier, about addressing barriers across the pipeline. In March, we had this event, Women in Digital, to discuss those kind of issues and involve people from academia and industry and government. And we're going to discuss the ideas that were generated at that showcase. We're going to discuss at the end of the month the kind of practical recommendations that we can take forward. Government as well, we always forget, government is a huge employer of tech, sometimes to the detriment of the private sector. When I was in Newcastle, actually a lot of tech companies were complaining some of their best people were being taken by local government offices. But we do employ a lot of people in digital roles, so we also can take the lead. So HMRC, for example, is collaborating with universities to deliver the innovative degree apprenticeship that was started by the tech partnerships, and again, that is a great new way into tech. So we have to build a culture that works together to create a culture that recognises the importance of tech and also promotes digital literacy among young people. And we've got a lot of ideas in that area, which we're planning to publish in a digital strategy. This was the digital strategy we were going to publish in February. It was then postponed by Number 10. Then we were going to publish it in June. It was postponed by Number 10. Then we lost the referendum, and now it's got to wait for the next Prime Minister. But when it comes out, it's going to be absolutely fantastic, even if a new minister does take all the credit for it.
Okay, brilliant. So I'm here at the launch of Tech Partnership's publication, My Tech Future. And I'm here with Jackie Ferguson, who is Senior VP and General Manager Enterprise Services for UK&I and MEMA for Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. So Jackie, congratulations on the launch today. Could you tell us a little bit about what Tech Future is all about?
Yeah, so Tech Future is all about trying to identify and encourage more young girls into tech careers. And today's report really highlights some of the things that we need to improve if we're going to change the trajectory of attracting more girls into technology careers.
And for Hewlett-Packard, which are the kind of main, if we talk about enterprise, the main verticals or the main sectors that girls or women may be coming into if they go down the same path as yourself and get a career in technology?
So we, as a company, operate in pretty much every industry sector. So it could be industries like healthcare or manufacturing or working in financial services, or even industry sectors like Ministry of Defence or some of our major government departments. It's really, the great thing about a technology career is it spans all sorts of industry sectors, and it could be even, you know, exciting industry sectors like retail, fast moving, telecoms, pretty much all industry sectors.
Could you tell us a little bit about what you did before HP?
Yeah, so I've been with Hewlett-Packard Enterprise actually for almost 20 years. So I have worked all over the world. So I am most recently based in the USA, in California, where I spent 3 years working for her chief executive as her chief of staff. That took me to 400 cities, 26 countries, and a pretty impressive time in the US. But I've also worked in Asia. I've worked all over Europe. I've worked in most industry sectors, actually, and I started out actually as a technologist. So I started out specialising in networking technology, and I migrated into software development. And so I really am a sort of techie, but I progressed through the ranks and went into general management probably about 10 years ago.
And are there any women in tech that you really look up to that have been sort of role models or mentors or inspirational in that way for yourself?
Yeah, I think that I have been lucky in that I have been encouraged by a number of really fantastic role models, actually both female and male. So, you know, I spent some time, 3 years in fact, working for Meg Whitman. She's very well known in the industry as being, you know, she was the CEO of eBay. She took that from a startup to a grown-up. She leads Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. I was very lucky that she selected me for what we would call a development assignment, and spending 3 years basically at her side was as close to being a chief executive as you could be without actually being one. Equally, back in the UK before that opportunity, I was lucky where it was mostly actually male role models, but mostly was supported, sponsored and encouraged by a number of senior executives in the company who gave me a lot of opportunities along the way, who probably took a few risks on me in a few different positions. And that really, that support, that encouragement over the years has led to my ability to, you know, progress my career.
In terms of the actual report today, so one aspect of it is that it's a multimedia campaign and that the content is really relevant, that kind of thing. And just going back to the fact that you used to live and work in the States, I think, you know, there is this sort of movement again of we've had sort of first and second wave feminism, of feminism in this campaign style. And I think there are lots of initiatives in the US around girls and coding and that kind of thing. How does My Tech Future move from a campaign to actionables?
Yeah, so there's some really practical ways that we've been doing this. So My Tech Futures is really, it's supported by industry, and that includes, you know, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, British Telecom, other industrial companies like TCS. And what we do is we sponsor the development of material that can be taken into the schools when the girls are young. So typically, we're targeting between the ages of 10 and 14 because we believe those, and I know this from my own experience because I have three daughters, that between the ages of 10 and 14 are very, very important to opening up different ideas about different types of careers. So what we do is we provide the digital content, but along with the other companies that operate in the tech partnership, our employees also go into the schools, and these are employees with obviously technology skills and experience. They go into the schools and they work with the teachers and they work with the classroom assistants and they work with the kids to help them understand better what technology, you know, can do and the opportunities that might be open to them. And I think it's really important to give the, particularly the young girls, an idea of what the art of the possible is, because even my girls will tell me, Mum, we didn't realise technology was, you know, so wide and so interesting. And if we didn't know what you did, we wouldn't know that that's what you could do with a technology career, because most of them are preconditioned to think it's oily rags. It's just, you know, it's for boys. It's for geeks. They don't necessarily have the opportunity to see what things you can do with technology that can transform the world. You know, whether it be, you know, healthcare, whether it be, you know, financial services or manufacturing. They don't, you know, my girls, the reason why they're attracted to a career in technology is they kind of want to contribute to the world. And I think girls want to make a difference. So I was talking earlier with Lavinia and Mahmoud here, who are sitting next to me here, about, you know, what they wanted to do. And Mahmoud wanted to go into a career in technology. And Lavinia wanted to go into a career in medical. And when you think about what's happening in the medical industry that's being enabled by technology, it's massive. I mean, the healthcare sector is under massive technology change. And I was telling them about, you know, when I was over in the US, we were talking about biodegradable sensors that you can eat. And, you know, from inside your body, it can scan your body and it can determine what is wrong with your digestive system as it's, you know, it's progressing through your body. And then it just sort of biodegrades and disappears. So, you know, if you think about the level of automation and the transformation that's undergoing in healthcare, and that's just one sector that's being changed by technology, every single industry sector is going through this radical transformation, whether it be the banks. I mean, you only have to look at yourself. And if you both got phones, girls, yeah. There you go. So almost everybody has a phone, probably from about the age of about 12, I think, if not younger. So the way that they buy, the way that they interact with each other, the way that they operate is completely, massively changing the way the world operates.
Okay, Jackie, I know you have to dash. Just before you go, for those educators and schools listening, if they are interested in having HPE come into the school and assist with the programs you talked about, who should they contact? And I'll just follow that up.
If you have them, contact Helen May at hpe.com. So that's Helen, H-E-L-E-N dot May, M-A-Y at hpe.com.
So following on from Jackie, I'm now here with Manor Qureshi. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Excellent. And Lavinia Godfrey.
Yeah.
And Alex McGreevy, who are all from Surbiton High School. And two of those people are students, and one is the computer science teacher. So you may be familiar with Jose Picado. Those of you on Twitter and, you know, following EdTech in the community. Manor, just to start, obviously you're here today at the launch of My Tech Future. First of all, just to put a bit of context around this, how old are you?
15.
15. And what would you say about your school? So if you want to give a shout out to your school, anyone listening?
It's honestly amazing. Many opportunities there. So, yeah.
Brilliant. And what's your passion? So what are you excited about when you leave school?
Programming, definitely.
Programming. That's brilliant. And why do you think there's a disproportionate amount of men in tech? Let's just jump straight into it.
I think that maybe society emphasizes on men doing it more, like focusing on programming more than females.
So when you think about programming as well, what part of it excites you?
Just the fact that you can create something that might help someone else. I recently saw a video on, I think, YouTube about a visually impaired man who did his own coding, and he was actually able to create this pair of glasses that actually allowed him to see what other people are actually feeling.
Wow.
Just based on their facial expressions.
I have to try and get that YouTube link.
I might be able to find it for you.
Yeah, that'd be great. So, and when you think about programming in terms of some of the companies out there or some of the individuals that are working in that space, are there any particular companies or organisations that sort of, you find exciting as well, that you would like to work for in the future?
HPE. Yeah.
there's a bundle of money going across the table. No, not really. We're in the House of Commons, come on. Yeah, anyone else?
IBM, maybe.
IBM, okay, yeah. So all the biggies. Yeah, interesting. And in terms of changing, going back to that, obviously at the moment it is quite dominated by men, but there are amazing women working in this space. You know, how can we change it so it's more equal?
Introducing computing to females as well early on in school, so that they know that it's not just men who can do it. They have the capacity, the capability to actually do it as well.
And when did you start learning programming as well?
Honestly, just right now.
Yeah.
Properly right now. I've done it before, but it wasn't that emphasized on that you could actually do it. In my previous school, it was more just side subject, I guess.
Yeah. And what kind of programs do you use to learn that? Or, you know, do you use things like Scratch or Python? Is that really too early?
Python,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And do you like that?
I really like it.
Yeah.
Cool. It's fun.
Brilliant. And then do you have any sort of role models as well that you look up to, you know, in terms of just putting everything into context? At the moment, it's possible we might have a female PM and a female president of the United States of America coming up. So what does that mean to you?
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Not any particular role models, though.
So we'll move on to Lavinia. Lavinia, were you the one that lost the bus ticket or train ticket?
No, that was Manor.
Okay, you're going to blame it on Manor. I think it was you. Okay, great. And so have you started learning coding as well?
Yeah.
And what do you think about your teachers? there's a big face palm going on next to me.
I think the teaching style is good because it's not, you don't teach them everything. It's like you give like a rough guideline and then you let them, they let us figure it out for ourselves. I think that's better because then we use our own brain, and instead of just sticking to step-by-step instructions, we kind of figure it out for ourselves.
And do you ever, either of you, sort of take that home? Do you ever kind of think, oh, actually, do you know what? I want to carry that on and learn a bit at home and do it in your own time? Yeah, you can.
For my controlled assessment, we were actually required to make a population model on Python. And I wasn't that interested in coding at that moment because I thought it was quite confusing. So I went back home, and my dad actually told me that there are other ways to present information on Python. So I searched it up and I realized that there is also something known as GUI, G-U-I. So I actually learned it online by myself and now I've completed my program.
Fantastic. Yeah. So we can, we'll add in the show notes. Is it GUI?
Yeah.
GUI. I think so. And Lavinia, what did you think about the event this evening as well?
I think it was quite helpful because I didn't know technology could help people in such a wide range of industries, and it kind of opened my eyes. I mean, I knew it had variety, but I didn't know it was this much.
Because there's one of the students, I didn't catch which school she was from, but talking about coding in a creative way. So talking about the creative arts and looking at YouTube videos where coding has sort of made these amazing artistic pieces as well. Is that something that interests you?
Well, I kind of want to go into the medical field. So, I mean, technology helps massively with that. Now you get robots doing operations and the biodegradable pill mentioned earlier and all of that.
You should look up, I'm not sure if it's still going, but there was a good website that used to be called Mobby Health News, which is quite a good one. In that area. Okay, and then just moving on quickly to Mr. McGreevy. I think I came and visited Surbiton High School maybe 2 years ago. So what's your kind of current focus on sort of technology and learning and making sure that that is proven in terms of outcomes? What's exciting and going on at Surbiton?
It is a pretty innovative place for technology at the moment. We are an iPad school, so every member of staff and every pupil has access to their own iPad. It's presented to everybody in such a way that it's not the be-all and end-all, it's not the tool for everything, it's just another way of accessing information or completing a task. So it's not that we're trying to put it at the center of everything, but just to give the students and indeed the parents and staff the exposure to the potential of technology in their education. I myself, I can see from my experience working in different schools at each end of the spectrum, really, from academies to boarding schools, and working with girls in both sort of backgrounds, it's equally as difficult to inspire girls into a life of computing. Mm. Very much so, whether they're from the wealthiest end of the spectrum or below the poverty line, they still believe it's a man's world, and it's the one thing that kind of unites them across all those digital divides is, it's not for me, I'm a girl. So Surbiton's doing some wonderful stuff at the moment to try really to inspire girls into using technology, first of all, but then being motivated to be creative with it.
Thanks for listening, and feel free to subscribe on iTunes, Pocket Cast, SoundCloud, Libsyn, TuneIn Radio, and many more. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and have a great week. Bye.